This morning we are going to be in Acts chapter 1, a familiar passage, but as we look at it, I want us to see a couple different things from this passage. We've talked about in our songs as we sang that our lives would be wide open before God and that we would honor Him through our lives in different songs that we just sang this morning. And sometimes we do that and sometimes we don't. This morning we're going to read this passage and it's talking about witnessing. And that was the title that I put on for the message this week was just witness. And as we go into this message this morning, you're going to be a witness. Either a good one or a bad one. That's your option. That's your choice. By the way that I live my life, I'm going to either be a good witness or a bad witness. And so as we go into this passage this morning, let's read, and I'm going to start in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. So if you'd read along with me. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power, and when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word today, Lord, I pray that you speak to us. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would move in this place in such a way that we would be drawn closer to you, challenged, charged, convicted, whatever it needs. Whatever each of us need, Lord, I pray that's what happens today. That we would honor you and glorify you with what we take from your word today. In your name we pray. Amen. This, of course, takes place after Jesus had already rose from the dead and he'd been with the disciples. And many people had seen him over time. And they go out and he is going to be taken up to heaven right in front of them. And he tells them that the promise, the Holy Spirit from the Father is going to come and going to baptize them in just a few days. And and they're still kind of maybe even confused a little bit, saying, "Are you going to restore your kingdom at this time?" And he says something that I think is key to our understanding today. Because he's telling them that they're going to be witnesses. Down later in a verse, he says, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." And we'll get to that in just a minute. But he says, "You shall be my witnesses." You know what a witness is. We've been around enough TV shows and court cases and maybe even in court yourself to where you know what a witness is. But in this case, a witness is one that is going to tell the truth about Jesus. That's your job. That's your responsibility. Now, here he's talking to the disciples, and he tells them that they're going to be his witnesses. And so we can put that in our place. We know the Great Commission tells us that we're supposed to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that is our commission as Christians. So I want you to ask yourself, are you doing that? Are you fulfilling the Great Commission? Now, we go to a church that's fulfilling the Great Commission. Some people might say that. Some people might be able to say, well, our church fulfills the Great Commission. That's one of the signs that we have out front. But nowhere does it say here in this passage that it's the church's responsibility. Yes, it is. But in this passage, it doesn't say that it's the church's responsibility. He's talking to individuals. Their responsibility is to be His witness. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's your responsibility. I don't care if you think it's your gift. I don't care if you think that other people are better. I don't care about any of that right now. I want you to understand that when Jesus is telling these disciples that they are going to be His witnesses, that is relayed to us as well. You are supposed to be His witness. You are supposed to be telling the truth about Jesus. Now, I've heard as many excuses, probably not as many as I've made, but I've heard a lot of excuses over 30 years plus in the ministry, but I'm sure I've made as many excuses as I've heard of why I'm not doing what He tells us to do. One of those is, you know, well, I just don't know enough. Let's go to this passage. They're asking about when the kingdom's going to be restored. And He starts telling them how to be a witness. It's not for you to know. You don't have to know everything. Well, I surely have to know enough. Point number one is you don't have to know everything. None of us do. We can come up with excuses. Well, what if I get into a confrontation or a questioning or a debate time with somebody that knows more or that believes or can kind of prove something that I don't know how to argue with it? Don't argue. Don't try to prove anything. Don't try to debate anything. All you've got to do is tell the truth about Jesus. Now, if there's a trial going on and something has happened, maybe it's a car accident, and they come to me and they say, Steve, will you be a witness for this accident, for what took place? There's only one way I can be a witness, and that's if I was there and I saw what happened. And then I could tell the truth about what I saw. But if they're just going to come to me and say, hey, there was a car accident downtown, and can you be a witness for that? No, I can't, because I was not there. I never saw it. And so all you have to know is what you saw. All you have to know is what's taken place in your heart. So therefore, if you're a Christian and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, all you have to do is tell them the truth about Jesus. It's that simple. You don't have to know theology, or at least not in-depth theology. All you have to know is that Jesus Christ died on the cross, you ask Him into your heart, and He forgave you of your sins, and you've chosen to live for Him. There is no way they can debate that. There's no way they can argue that. You don't have to prove to them that the Bible is correct. You don't have to prove to them anything from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. All you do is just tell them what you've witnessed of Jesus. And you take that. You don't have to know everything. But you have to know something. And that is Jesus. Well, I've heard all about Jesus my whole life, so surely I can testify about Jesus. No, you can't. I heard all about that car accident, so I can testify. No, I can't. If you don't know Jesus, not know of Him, know Him, then you cannot be a witness. But if you know of Him and you know Him, then you are a witness. That's your responsibility. So He tells them, first off, you don't have to know everything. And then He says, but you shall receive power. Most of us, when we think about going out to witness, We think, well, I've studied my Bible and I've read the scriptures, or I've memorized this witnessing track or whatever, this way of understanding how to lead somebody to the Lord, and we go through all of those things. And by doing that, sometimes we're relying on our own power. But Jesus says you're going to receive power from Him. God the Father is going to send power. You got to rely on that power. Because if you think you can do it on your own, it's not going to happen. He says that He will give power. It's a promise. It's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. It's the same power for all the miracles that we hear about, that we read about in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament. It's the same power of God that does all of those things that's going to help you talk to somebody about the love of Jesus. But we make up excuses and not do it. Because we know that power's there, it's a promise, but we don't want to witness. That's the bottom line. We don't want to. Or maybe we want to, but we don't want to bad enough. And so when God's power that lives in us as the Holy Spirit indwells all Christians, if that power is there, then why is it not empowering me to be that witness? Because I have chose not to surrender to it. I have chose not to submit to that power. I have chose to do what I want to do instead of what God wants me to do. Which brings us to our third point. When He says, you shall be my witnesses. Not you could be. Not even you should be. But you shall be. He did not give those disciples a choice that day and say, you know, if you want to, the Holy Spirit's going to come in a few days and He's going to empower you to be witnesses if you want to. I really want you to, and you really should. He says, you shall be. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice but to be my witness. There is no option. Regardless of the consequences, that's your option. Now, I can see on some of the faces already that this is just one of those messages that, oh, He's telling us we need to go out and witness. I'm not telling you anything. I'm just reading to you what the book says. If you don't like it, then don't get mad with me. Don't take it up to me. Take it up with the guy that wrote the book. Because that's why we're not where we're supposed to be. As individuals and as a church and as the body of Christ, is because we are not being the witness that God has called us to be. Because we opt out. Well, I'm living a good life and people should be able to see it through my life. There are a lot of people that are across the street, around town, across this nation, on other sides of the earth, who are good people who have no earthly idea who Jesus Christ is. So if they're just going to see my life and see I'm a good person, they can see they're a good person too. If they choose to follow that person or they choose to follow me, they're headed to hell. It comes down to the point that they need to hear about Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, you just go and live in front of them. And you'll be a witness by just living in front of them. Yes, that's true. We know that that people will see us and witness what we do in our lives, and they should. It should make a difference. They should see a difference in us. But that's no excuse not to tell what Jesus Christ has done. Well, I do occasionally. That word's not in this passage either. It doesn't say you shall occasionally be my witnesses. But that's what we do. As long as I can check it off, hey, I went out on Saturday and I talked to somebody, check that off, I'm good for a while. It's not in there. Don't ever get me wrong, it's not about numbers. But there's a reason every church in town is not full. It's because the people that are calling themselves Christians, that are Christians, are not doing what God has called us to do. And I'm as guilty as anybody here. He says, "You shall be my witnesses." I'm not giving you a choice. If you have received me, if you have received my power, then you will be my witness. You will not be able to keep it in. If I'm the most important thing in your life, then everything else will suffer by comparison. I'm not going to pull out any names here, but there's a person I know that has taken up a sport here in the last year or so. And when you talk to him, he's going to tell you about that sport. He's going to ask you about that sport. And there's nothing wrong with that because he's not making it his God. That's not what I'm saying. But he enjoys it and he loves it, and so he wants to talk about it. And I think, do people see that in me from Jesus? In every conversation that I have, does it eventually come back to Jesus? It should. You shall be my witnesses. Okay. So I don't have to know everything. God's going to supply the power, and it's not an option. And then he goes on to say, "You shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." And we know that if you've heard this passage preached on before, it's basically talking about the Jerusalem was where they lived, and then Judea and Samaria and the other parts of the earth. And we're supposed to be a witness in all of those areas. But let me tell you something. Location is not going to make you a witness. Scratch the ends of the earth for just a moment. Scratch the Samaria. Scratch the Judea. You need to focus. I need to focus on Jerusalem. That means that's where we're at. And yes, we need to be missionaries to other places. But if I'm not a witness where I'm at, then changing and going to some other location is not going to make me a witness. Oh yeah, I'll be able to witness to people because they won't know me, and I won't feel like they know all my bad habits, or they won't know how I grew up and all the things I used to be. That's the best part of your witness, is to see what God brought you from to where he's got you now. If I go to Zimbabwe, then nobody in Zimbabwe is going to know what I was before I accepted Christ. They're just going to know there's a guy that came and talked about Jesus. But if I talk to somebody where I live and they know what I used to be, then they're going to know something's changed. The people I went to school with, I guarantee you, they would never have pictured me behind one of these. Because I would have never pictured me behind one of these. I know what I was, and I know where God has brought me. You know where you are, and you know what God has brought you from. And that is the testimony he's given you. So it comes down to the power that he gives you, that there's no option to get out of witnessing. It has to start here. Well, I don't reach very many people. So what if you reach one? Well, I don't know what to say. Tell them about Jesus. And this is who Jesus is to me. We've got to start here. But too many times we want to take it somewhere else. It's got to start, first of all, in our family, in our home. Then it starts, it kind of branches out, but it's got to be there. There are so many broken homes in our world today. And the answer is Jesus. That's where it's, we have no choice. But too many times we think if we can just change our location, I'll be a good witness. No, you'll just be a bad witness in a different location. I know, I've been there, I've done that. So he says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And a lot of people stop right there, but I want to go on. And after he'd spoken these things, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Can you imagine standing there? You're standing there talking to Jesus, and he's telling you, you're going to be my witnesses. In these places, I'm going to give you the power. And then all of a sudden, his feet lift off of the ground. And he begins to float up into the air. And he's enveloped in the Shekinah glory cloud. The glory of God receives him into heaven. Can you imagine standing there and seeing that? As Jesus is taken up into heaven. And as you're standing there watching that, as Jesus rises off the ground and goes into heaven and disappears out of your sight, you look over and hear these two men that come from nowhere, standing there in white robes. I can't even imagine what that would be like. But you know, I also can't really fathom why God loves me. Why he would do what he did on the cross. But I know he did it. I didn't see it with my eyes, but I know he did it. There were people that were not there when Jesus ascended into heaven. And these disciples went and told people, man, you should have saw what Jesus did. And it's changed lives. Because they told what they saw of Jesus. That's all we've got to do. But they see those two men in white apparel. And you think, man, what a great feeling they've got to be having. Jesus has just ascended into heaven, and now these two angelic beings are standing there beside us. And they call you by name, or basically, men of Galilee. What are you doing standing here gazing up into heaven? And as I studied that this past couple weeks, I get this. Steve, you know what you just saw. You know what you've experienced from Jesus. What are you doing standing here, gazing up around every... What are you doing still standing here? Jesus told them what to do. He told them where to go. He told them what was going to happen. He told them of the power. He told them what they would be. Well, I'm just going to stand here. Maybe he'll come back. That was pretty cool. Let's just take that in. And the angel says, why are you still standing here? He's told you what to do. Now go do it. And so we need to ask ourselves that same question. Why are we still standing here? You and I each have family members, friends, acquaintances that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You have been called to be a witness. I have been called to be a witness. What are we doing standing here doing nothing according to what He's told us to do? Why do you stand here? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come. He's coming back. Is He going to find you standing there staring up in the clouds? Oh man, I can't wait till He comes. And I'm so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. You've heard that statement before? Oh man, I want to be where I'm supposed to be when God comes back, when Jesus splits that eastern sky. Man, I want to be here at the altar. I want to be exactly where I'm supposed to be. That's not what He tells us. Over in Matthew chapter 24, I want to read this real quick. It's the faithful servant and the evil servant. It says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant who his master made ruler over the household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods." That goes right along with what this is a passage, this is a parable, Jesus talking about the coming of the kingdom of heaven. And where we were at in Acts, it talks about He's coming back. He's told them what they're supposed to do. Here, He has made them ruler over the household. They have a position with the master. You have a position with the master. He says their job was to give food to people in due season. You have a job to care with people and share with people and minister to people for the master. Because when He comes, He needs to find you so doing. Not staring up into the clouds. Not just enjoying life because I'm saved and I know where I'm going to go. He's got a job that you're supposed to be doing. And a faithful and good servant has that position with God, has a job from God, and he knows God is coming back. There's a time frame and there will be a reward. He will bless them. He will make you ruler over all his goods. He will bless you if you're doing what he called you to do. So in Acts, it tells us exactly what we're supposed to do in being a witness. Go and tell people the truth about Jesus. So you can either be a faithful servant, or what it calls here in this same passage, an evil servant. But if the evil servant says in his heart, "My master is delaying his coming," and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and he will cut him into two and appoint him in a portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not going to get into the debate of whether this is talking about unfaithful Christians that are not doing what they're supposed to do, or people that are lost that are still in respect to Jesus. They're still under him. They're still a servant because he has authority over everybody. I'm not going to get into that, but the bottom line is he says, I'm going to treat that person that says the master is not coming, the master's delaying, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to get by doing all these other things because he's not coming, that person will receive judgment. Well, I'm a Christian, Pastor, so I'm not going to be judged. Yes, you are. The Bible says that everyone is appointed to die once and then after that face the judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is for Christians. The great white throne judgment is for those that are lost and have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But we will all be judged. We will be judged according to, are you doing what he's called you to do? What have you done with what he has given you? The relationship he has given you, what have you done with it? Well, I've enjoyed it myself. It's blessed me. But I've never shared it. Man, you've got a job. I've got a job. There's no way out. All you got to know is Jesus. He'll supply the power. You have no option. You start here. You start now because He's coming and there is a time limit. It's that simple. You know, when I got engaged to my wife, I told people. I figured, well, you know, they're going to eventually find out anyway, you know. Right? Is that what we do? No. I couldn't wait to tell people. I found a sucker that would, I found somebody that would believe in me, that loved me. Because I found somebody that I loved and I wanted everybody to know. Do you love Jesus? And do you want people to know? And maybe you're out there and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Same things go. All you have to know is Jesus. All you have to know is what He's done for you. He is that power source. He is the only way that you can be saved. And there's really no other option. And it needs to happen here and now because He's coming back. So if you've never accepted Christ, why not here? Why not now? Why not today that you take care of this? All you need to know is Jesus. He's supplied all the power. And Christian, it's not an option. It's a command by Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we thank You so much for Your love. Lord, Your life. Lord, even Your death, but especially Your resurrection. Lord, the command You've given us, Lord, forgive us where we fall short. But Lord, today, help us to see and share our love for You with those around us. Lord, I pray for any in this room that might not know You as their Savior. Lord, I pray You draw them in a way that only You can. Holy Spirit, move in this place. In Your name I pray. Amen.